This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
It's been a couple of weeks since we chatted with Jesse Ackler. Jesse, hope you enjoyed your All-Star break. I know some people went to the game in Atlanta. Xander went back to Aruba. Did you do anything fun and spectacular during your break?
Very low-key, which is kind of the way I like it. I would struggle if, like, they had an All-Star team of announcers and they said, all right, you got to go to Atlanta.
You made the game.
It would be an honor. Right, yeah, it would be an honor. You'd be thrilled to have the experience, but boy, do I need those 3.5 days to kind of recharge the battery.
So,
laid low, hung out with the kids, you know, that kind of stuff.
I believe it, man. And you would like it. Like, the first time you got selected, you'd be like, holy cow, this is incredible. And then you realize, I got to fly all the way across the country. I got no break, essentially. And then I got to go back and do this again. It's a grind. And then, you know, staring down a 10-game road trip right out of the break, Jesse. How's it been so far?
So far, so good. You know, I mean, they're winning baseball, and that obviously always makes it feel a little bit better. Tony and I have been calling it the hottest road trip, Washington, Miami, St. Louis, and it has certainly lived up to expectations weather-wise so far. But look, you go into D.C., you take 2 out of 3, you come down here. You know, this Marlins team, I'm sure you guys have been talking about it the last couple of days. Like, they're sneaky decent. You know, they're not a deplorable team by any stretch of the imagination, and you saw some of the toughness last night. Hours has been unbelievable, kind of a great story and nice for us on the local angle. But, you know, I mean, the close game thing doesn't seem like it's going to stop anytime soon. And it's interesting because I think for me, last night was something of a mental turning point, because I'll be honest, and you've probably caught on to this if you've listened to Tony and I enough over the course of the season, but like, I've not been thrilled with the amount of tight, low scoring games they've played, from a sense of they got to be better than that. And I think they are better than that. But yesterday, I think I was just like, you know what? It's kind of who they are. And I'm going to give them a break at least until the trade deadline. And when we get to the trade deadline, we'll kind of see what happens. I expect, you know, some pretty good, you know, decent sized moves out of AJ, although you can never guarantee that sort of thing. And I think, like, in my head last night, I was like, you know what? They just keep winning them. I need to chill out on this. Is it ideal? No. Does it have its dangers? Absolutely. Poor Jason Adams' arm is going to fall off at some point if this continues. But, you know, for now, it's like, all right, you know, just keep winning. That's what matters. They're back to 10 games over 500. You know, for all the talk about the great start and the treading water ever since, which has kind of been the storyline fairly to some extent, you know, they're 2 games off their best pace of the season right now. They've never been more than 12 games above 500, and they're currently at 10. So, you know, we'll see how the rest of this road trip goes. As you said, it's a grind with the weather and the 3 cities right out of the break. No off days. Come home, play the Mets for the first time this year, and then you get, you know, the off day next Thursday to kind of reset a little bit. But, you know, I think, and that's the trade deadline, by the way. I think, you know, for me, for now, it's kind of like, all right, let's let this thing ride, and, you know, we'll see where we are in a week and a half.
Jesse, you probably didn't see it because you were calling the game on radio, but Bob Scanlon did a little segment where he showed Manny an old picture of him in high school, and they brought up that Manny went to Brito Miami Private Schools, just 3.5 miles away from Lone Depot Park. So it's a homecoming for Manny, but it's also a homecoming for Jesse Ackler from Miami. What kind of nostalgia hits you when you go back to Miami? Is it a certain food that you need to get every time? What is it about, you know, Miami that hits when you go home?
It's so funny. The first, you know, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years that I worked for the Padres, I felt it every time, you know, we came here. And I really don't feel it that much anymore. You know, there's familiarity, obviously. I got, you know, to see some people at the game last night I haven't seen in a long time. That was kind of exciting. In fact, Ben, your counterpart at the ABC affiliate here in Miami, Will Manso, who I've known for 25 years at this point, you know, I hadn't seen him in a decade. And so, like, you know, just seeing him at the ballpark yesterday was nice, and catching up with, you know, some of the people I know from around town. This is a little bit of a diversion, but there's this wonderful man. His name is Massimo Marianella. He is basically the Al Michaels of Italy.
Nice.
He calls all the big sporting events in Italy for Sky Italia. And he's, I got introduced to him. He's got a place in Miami. He comes here in the summer. And I got introduced to him, I don't know, 20 years ago at this point. He's a huge baseball fan. For whatever reason, he's a huge baseball fan. And I hadn't seen him in I don't know how long. And we bumped into each other in the press box last night. So that was like thrilling and exciting. You know, we caught up for 30 minutes and it was like, you know, it was one of those heartwarming things of getting to see him. But coming back here doesn't really feel like coming back home anymore. When I get off the plane in San Diego after a long road trip, that feels like coming home. I mean, it's pretty neat that that's happened. I mean, both my kids were born in San Diego and you know, I'm so lucky to be in a place that that feels like home and is so great to make a home. And that's kind of where it's at. So, yeah, I mean, the nostalgia has really kind of faded all the way away over the years. Like I said, those human relationships are nice, and seeing those people, you know, who I haven't seen maybe in a long time is always special. But, you know, outside of that, that's kind of all that it is at this point. I've been with the Padres now 12 seasons.
It's crazy. I feel the exact same way, and I felt the same way when I landed yesterday. And after they lost my luggage, I went to my car and got in my car, paid the $7,000 it cost to park, and then I put on 97.3 The Fan, and it was right when the game was starting. Heard Tony do the lineups. You start calling the game, and I'm driving home in 55 minutes of traffic from the airport, but I would have never been happier to be home knowing, you know, going to go see my family right now. I got Jesse and Tony on the radio, and you guys were talking about, I loved this, you were talking about Jose Iglesias and how the strategically they're using him, and they said, you know, you said, you know, we talk about it all the time, how smart they are and how smart they're being, getting guys off their feet. Rehash for us kind of what you said yesterday when you were talking about Iglesias and how valuable he is.
Yeah, so, you know, I think what we saw with the Mets last year with Iglesias was, you know, they were ultra strategic with how they used him in terms of when he would get a start. You know, they basically only used him against left-handed pitching. And from what I understand, you know, certain types of left-handed pitching. And he played 85 games for the Mets last year, and he hit .337. Now, he's not at that level for the Padres this year, but he's playing way more often. Part of that, of course, was necessity with some injury stuff earlier in the year. But, you know, right now, you know, it's like we're in this stretch. It's hot out. You're into the second half. You're trying to kind of ease everybody back into it. Xander had a DH day. Iglesias started it short. Manny had a DH day. Iglesias started at third. Last night, Cronenworth, first time this year, DH day. Iglesias started at second base. So he's, you know, this wonderfully perfect fit anywhere you want to put him. Remember, he got a start in left field, for goodness sake, earlier this year. But on the infield in particular, you know, he's a perfect piece because he can play all those positions expertly. And especially if you kind of work it where you get the pitching matchup that you like, you know, he's able to go out there and contribute. You know, beyond that, he's a guy, and it's a lot like Manny, where the baseball IQ is off the charts. Yep. And, you know, he's just one of these guys. He knows exactly what is required of him. Every single plate appearance, every ball that's hit to him on the infield, he knows exactly what to do. And he's able to do things physically that most guys in this league cannot. It's pretty remarkable at 35 years old. I mean, remember, this guy made his big league debut all the way back in 2011 with the Red Sox. He was in El Paso 2 years ago at AAA with the Padres. Didn't sniff the big leagues in 2023 and then had that kind of resurgent year with the Mets last year and now kind of putting it all back together again this season with the Padres. It's a great story. He's a great piece. And I think, you know, the place Tony and I kind of landed in that conversation last night was, you know, championship caliber teams have guys like Jose Iglesias on the roster. He's a perfect piece for a team that's, you know, trying to win it all.
You had a really great call of Martin Maldonado's RBI double that scored Jackson Merrill from first base. Yeah, talking about him running right through Tim Leaper's stop sign on his way home. What was your thoughts on that play? There was a lot of discussion about it, about Tim Leaper, about Jackson not following his coaches and using his own instincts. And then Mike Schilt talked about it after the game as well.
Anybody who's upset about it has never gotten out of high school baseball. That's what I'll say. You know, I mean, it's the major leagues. It's the major leagues. And, you know, this team in particular, Mike Schilt has 1,000 times the last 2 years talked about, you know, A, they want to be aggressive, and B, he wants guys in control of their own destinies. And look, it's not always going to work. If Jackson gets thrown out there, it's a bad look. I get that. But you're never going to be upset about if the play is in front of him. And it was. When Merrill hit second base last night, he's looking into the left field corner. He sees where Kyle Stowers is. He sees where the ball is. Now, the Marlins nearly pulled it off because Stowers got to it really quickly, made a great fast throw to Lopez, the shortstop. And Lopez, it was like the slightest little hitch. I don't even know if you could call it a hesitation before firing home. If he doesn't have that hitch, is Jackson Merrill out? Possibly. And then it's, you know, it's a different story last night. But you're forcing the defense to make a perfect play. And how many times are guys going to make a perfect play? What percent of the time in the big leagues? I don't know, 80, 70, whatever it is, you're rolling the dice. It's also early in the game, you know, and it's like, all right, let's do this. And Jackson understands himself. He understands the game. He had the ability to see it. Did Tim Leeper in a vacuum make the right choice? I think so. Absolutely. Like,
yes.
If you go back and you watch from above,
yeah,
like that's what you want your third base coach doing. But you also want one of your fastest guys, you know, who's got the play in front of him and who can see it, to say, you know what, this is what we've been coached to do. This is what we've been asked to do. This is what we've been taught to do, to make these decisions. And, you know, it's one of those, it's kind of silly, but it's like, hey, if he's safe, everybody's happy. It's the football or the baseball version of the football play where it's like the quarterback scrambling around and then he throws across his body and the coach is going, no, yes.
Yes.
You know, when the pass is completed. But, you know, that's what they're asking guys to do. And again, you're not asking Martin Maldonado to do that. You're asking Jackson Merrill to do that. You're asking Fernando Tatis Jr. to do that. Go back to when Fernando scored on that wild pitch that never got more than 5 feet away from home plate to win a game. You know, that's another great example of that. No third base coach in the world in that situation would be like, go. But they've asked these guys, and in particular the fast guys, to kind of take their destiny into their own hands. And when you have a roster like this, you can do that.
Before we get to the incorporator, did Woods miss this as well? Because I think it was after he was gone. They say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
I saw this at the All-Star game.
Jesse, did you catch this? That Dave Roberts tried to play the incorporator at the All-Star game during his post-game news conference. He was given
two words.
His words were,
one was two words that they want me to work into a press conference. Actual press conference. So I'm going to work them in. Sweet potato and starfish. And then obviously Eugenio got hit in the hand, so I had to replace him with my starfish.
What?
Kyle Stowers.
That's not
what was your favorite takeaway from this weekend?
It's terrible.
So when I come to Atlanta, I got this restaurant that I get my favorite sweet potato.
That's terrible.
Jesse, you need to give him pointers next time you see him.
It just was not good. It was something.
He could have said, I showed my starfish to Ice Cube in the celebration when we won the World Series, because he actually
I do appreciate that, like, Stowers is a star and a fish. I, like, you know, I think it's
fair.
A stretch, but I sort of like where he was going with that one. Yeah, he's a marlin and a star. But that's, you know, like you said, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery. So Dave Roberts obviously is a tier one.
Obviously.
I'm sure he's taken a lot of pointers from you guys over the years.
Yes.
And maybe that's how they were able to shut out the Padres for the last 2.5 games in the division series. They got some insight from listening to Ben and Woods.
That's,
you
didn't
realize them.
I think he used to be a tier one. I'm not so sure anymore, Jesse. He still listens as regularly as he once did.
I'm sure it gets back to
him. All right, so let's give him this word, because it's inspired by Woods' visit to Manchester, England. We're throwing a little British slang at you today, Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse, I learned...
Champagne supernova.
Yes, like please it. Do it. It's a word for sneakers, and it's crepes. And I learned it, and I said, that's fantastic.
Ooh, I like that. It was a British accent there.
Where crepes.
Did you find her?
Crepes. It just means, shoes. Trainers, they call them trainers. So it's crepes. Work that in.
Different from crepes.
Yeah,
no, not
yeah,
crepes.
Not crepes. Crepes.
Not the thin pancake, but rather the footwear.
Yeah, what shows, they have a store called Crep Locker.
Creps Locker.
Creps Locker, yeah. Creps Locker.
That's fantastic.
The Foot Locker, where they get your shoes.
Also, I need a favor from you. Do you know Kevin Brown from the Orioles, yeah?
Yeah.
I need you to put in a good word. He is also a massive Oasis fan. And if we reach out and ask him to come on our show, I want to talk Oasis with him. If he asks you to vouch, just vouch for us that we're good guys.
I mean, yeah.
Yes, okay. Thank you. All right, good.
He's I think he's on the mend right now.
Is
Kevin
he?
Brown, yeah.
He got in an accident.
Yeah. Did he?
He was in a hunting accident, and he fell from a deer blind. He's fine. He's going to be okay.
Oh my God.
He's returning, I think, in like a week to the broadcast.
He's had a bumpy couple of years.
Yeah, he has had a bumpy couple of years. I like that guy a lot, and now that
he's a really, really, really good guy.
Oh,
you'll have a good time talking to him. But yeah, give him a couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Jesse,
Krebs.
But you can't just go Krebs meaning shoes. Like, just use it as
Krebs.
Like,
don't tell him. He's not Dave Roberts. He knows what he's doing.
As if everyone says it every day.
Yeah,
that's kind
Krebs.
Of yeah.
Thank you, Jesse.
I'm also going to call Stowers a starfish.
Please.
Yes. Need that.
Great.
All right, Jesse. We'll see you back in town next week.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye.
Jesse Agler, the Incorporator.